continue getting food, but we will call to order the City Council Special Work Session, Strategic Planning Session for Tuesday, April 1st, 2025. Topics of discussion, 2025 Strategic Planning Session.
All right. Well, welcome everyone, and the three of you that haven't gone through this before. We do this annually, and you know, it is what, on the face of it, it's a strategic plan, set some kind of bigger ticket items that we'd like to work towards accomplishing to ultimately make Ramsey better. Like many strategic plans, we've got values that we've adopted, vision, missions, overall goals and strategies to accomplish those goals. So tonight we'll just kind of go through them. We'll kind of review all of them a little bit. Over the last, well, since I've been here 3 years, we've really honed in on the values and mission and vision a couple different times. So I think it's generic enough, yet it sets a good pathway to move towards where I don't know that we need to address too much of that. In the kind of agenda for this evening, I also had strategies and look at those earlier in the evening. We'll hold off on those till later on or at the end. But we'll kind of start off by looking at the 2024. There's a typo in the case, copy and paste issue there. But we'll just kind of go through the 2024 plan. Feel free to ask questions if you want to understand them more. But there's kind of red quick comments throughout it to kind of know what we have done to work towards accomplishing those different action plans. So each action plan is tied back to one of the strategies, which is ultimately tied back to how to accomplish the overall goal, or formerly it was called an objective. I'm going to rebrand that to a goal, and in my mind at least it makes more sense. So one strategy was to address infrastructure needs. This really came up probably about 2-3 years ago as a couple bad winters back-to-back really blew apart our roads and we had pothole issue, as well as just looking at the age of our infrastructure and the major projects we had coming up. So we really wanted to focus on identifying what our infrastructure maintenance needs are in the coming years, and we really identified just kind of year-to-year ongoing routine maintenance more so than major maintenance. But looked at the pothole patching, spray patching, looked at kind of going away from chip sealing, bringing in more of the pavement rejuvenator as we do full road reconstructs, making sure we're inspecting our water and sewer and sanitary pipes that are underground so that way we're not putting a new road over the top and then have those fall apart a handful of years later. And then parks and trails, same with our roads. Those are starting to age and are coming up on needing more maintenance or bigger maintenance. Noted it's been a ongoing task, but I think it's been relatively completed from staff's perspective or my perspective as it's gotten built into the annual budget process. And for the most part, I think we're there from a financial standpoint to continue to address potholing and things of that nature. Number two was to analyze ground maintenance opportunities for city-owned parcels. This is really going away from your typical turf grass that you're mowing on a weekly basis and incorporating more of those natural plantings like wildflowers and things of that nature. Generally speaking, we do spend a lot less annual time maintaining those areas. There's, of course, upfront costs and everything to get them established, but overall there's less weekly maintenance tasks needed. Analyze operations. Note time frame of Q1 2025 of a budget impact. As we talked about it the last year or two, there was really an idea of identifying inefficiencies and really how do we go about solving those. We haven't brought in a third party to help look at it from an outside perspective, but we have attempted to streamline different processes throughout our operations, shifting kind of tasks from one department over to a next one that makes sense, as well as implementing some different software aspects to help just make it easier, customer service has always been on the forefront of those discussions as well. We haven't done a major organizational staffing growth need, but we do address them through budget process and retirements to kind of look at, okay, this is the position we've had. What could we put in its place to better serve Ramsey and address the issues that we need? One recent example is the Len Linton's retirement. A lot of his time was spent on stormwater, and we brought forward a case not too long ago to change that to 100% stormwater related need. So we've been doing that as opportunities arise. We've had economic development growth and kind of really honing in on the business aspect of that, making sure we're doing business visits each year, kind of gauging what the businesses are telling us that they need. We do two big events throughout the year. One is the business appreciation event. That's the golf event. And then, three big ones. And then business expo, where our goal is to have as many Ramsey businesses as possible at the event. And you'll note that from year to year, that percentage of Ramsey businesses has increased. Last 2024 being 84% of our booth spots were Ramsey businesses. And then the business networking breakfast registrations through the years have gone up. We've also identified just a new retail or industrial square footage growth from year to year. And historically, we've surpassed that. That's a lot of private market driven and land available, but we've had a lot of great success in recent years. Consider strategic infrastructure investment to prepare more shovel-ready sites. This was really a focus of the core the last 2-3 years. We've invested a lot of money in just public infrastructure with roads and then that stormwater pond. Those are at least the initial phase of what we felt like was the best bang for our buck. Those are completed with just a little bit of work yet needed on finishing out the waterfront area with some plantings. And then next step would really be probably honing in on the waterfront park and what that looks like. That was also part of this deal, but different funding sources and timing of available funds kind of put those two projects on separate trajectories. Complete a comprehensive city code audit and update. This one remains in progress, but we've made good work. A couple years ago, we did a massive overhaul of our zoning code. First time, basically, since Ramsey was incorporated that was done. We have sign ordinance coming soon, as well as a couple other bigger revamps of our code that will be coming over the next year or so. Rental license program, this has been completed and then adjusted once already, but generally speaking, that's been accomplished. We implemented the rental license requirement for all rental properties in Ramsey. We have a number of them. It's an opportunity to make sure that those parcels stay in good condition, and both the residents and the landlords are making sure that they've got quality properties. Advanced Ramsey Gateway Plan. This one's out of our control now, but the city had a lot of efforts into it years ago. We're entering the final construction season this year and should be substantially complete this fall with just some minor turf reestablishment next spring. Update priority streetlight program and pedestrian safety. We've been addressing this as road projects come up. A big aspect of that is like ADA accessibility at intersections and things like that, so we're sure to focus on that when we're preparing new street plans. Same thing with street lights, but as it makes sense, we'll look at those and implement them in new developments as needed. Complete parks capital improvements. This has been really looking at a playground replacement plan. Well, in any event, we've been adding new parks as developments come up, as well as replacing playgrounds as they get aged. Looking at different opportunities. Late last year, early this year, Central Park Playground was approved, and we were able to move that forward on the list, but yet take advantage of a massive discount due to an ordering error on a one city didn't necessarily care for. We said that's perfect for us for that amount of savings. Connected trail system. We have looked recently about gaps in that trail system and just, you know, when does it make sense to connect those, and as well as kind of finish building out other aspects of our trail system. Provide community recreational programming. We've been expanding our programming options in the Parks and Rec department. It did come along with a little bit of staff increase, but the programming available is quite substantial, and there's a lot of opportunities for all ages of Ramsey residents. Another one was to implement QR codes. We've used this sporadically, not quite the way the original idea was, but we have implemented them in various aspects of our stuff, whether it be in job postings and posters throughout City Hall or throughout the park system. Secure Ramsey zip code. It is what it is. It's been on and it probably will stay on. But the good news is we're getting that much closer where we can make the formal request. So over the next year, we'll really try to hone in with USPS on try to get the metrics figured out where they would put a new post office in and see what other avenues we can take to help encourage that, whether it be the state or federal level. Support recognized community volunteers. We've done this, probably not great, but we do try to do it. We do have volunteers throughout the year that help with tree plantings or cleanup of our parks and trail system as they're out about walking. We also had some businesses join us and help plant trees and take care of areas around their parcels. Proactive and time relevant communication. It's occurring as opportunities present themselves. We have increased our social media presence over the last couple of years. We've really taken an effort to try to get consistent branding across our communications, even updating our posters and things like that we put out there to make it more enticing to look at versus just a Word document with bullet points. Analyzing city policies. We've been doing this as opportunities present themselves. We realize we either need a policy or a policy that we've been following is outdated and needs to be updated. Conducting a community survey. It's noted biannually, but you can note we did it in 2014, 16, 18, 20, and then took a one-year off type, or one phase off, and did it last in 2024. So if we're looking at doing it, 2026 would probably make sense the next time to consider it. Identify and advertise a cost savings measure. It's kind of been one where we put one article a year in the Ramsey Resident. A big recent example is the new Public Works facility. And before we had the new facility, we had stuff stored all over town, and we're driving all over town, and bringing that all under one roof has been pretty impactful from employee time spent on the road to go get a piece of equipment. Establish and adopt city policies. The two noted last year were accomplished, the trail maintenance policy and stormwater pond maintenance policy. Again, that's kind of one of two examples of we needed one, we didn't have one, so we created one. Establish employee events to strengthen relationships. This is ongoing. We do have four or five or so handful of events that we do every year. We do a couple all staff meetings. We'll do an ice cream social in the early summer. We've got ongoing wellness related programs. We're sending out tips and tricks on whether it be physical or mental health, as well as reminding staff of different resources available through them for our benefits. And then we like to recognize birthdays when they pop up with just a short little treat in the afternoon. Communication with employees about city business. We've brainstormed a couple ideas of what makes sense, understanding that people react to information differently. Some people want a lot. Some people, they'll find it on their own if they want it. But we do now what's a weekly update, but it follows council meetings where we'll put in a number of flyers of upcoming events as well as a quick summary of the latest council meeting and decisions made by all of you. conduct an employee survey. This generally follows kind of the community survey. We are changing it from every 2 years to really go every probably 3 years now. We do that internally with just SurveyMonkey, and so it's no added cost, just a little bit of time to put the survey together and put the results together. And the last one was workplace safety. A big ticket item recently was looking at some physical safety improvements throughout City Hall and other facilities in the city that followed the most recent employee survey. Unfortunately, it was a large cost item to do some of those improvements, so it wasn't able to make it into recent budgets, but if it works, we'll try to do periodic improvements as budget allows. But one thing we do have is ergonomic workstations. That's something that's been relatively easy to implement. We've got a couple staff trained on how to make those assessments and recommendations on what would make that better. So overall, we've had some good progress made on the last plan. Not all of them are 100% accomplished, but I think all of them have received some good progress. With that, are there any questions on those? Kirsten?
For the staff survey, would we be able to keep it to every 2 years? Every 3 years seems like a big gap, and people could have come and gone already. And are we also doing exit surveys and strategizing around recruitment and retention?
Yep, we do an exit survey, and then we fully implemented a stay survey?
Stay survey. So the Labor Management Committee has discussed conducting stay surveys. Initially, it may have been there was some level of concern, like, what is this all about? And then we emphasized this would be completely voluntary. A stay survey is to talk about, you know, what's going well and some things that you'd like to see changed. The Labor Management Committee actually meets tomorrow. We're going to circle back to that. So that is something that we really want to move on. We do exit interviews always, although it's not mandatory. What other piece was a question on that?
Full staff survey.
Yes, the staff survey. The Labor Management Committee discusses this annually to determine whether or not they feel it is needed. Last was done in 2023, and a report went to City Council at a work session in early 2023. It is also a tool to be used prior to budget to learn what might be needed from staff. So every 2 years, there was feedback that that was too often, although that's not to say it can't be done.
Thank you.
Other questions? Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just out of curiosity, for kind of one and two, with the infrastructure needs and the sewer properties, where is that with the possibility? I know when you discussed changing City Hall and the landscaping that faces the settlement there. Possibly not lower or less, you know, with other rocks that were falling apart and things that I think it was cost prohibitive to do right away, but is that still kind of on the docket, or is that?
Yeah, we're looking at options. As we looked at it closer, it presented itself to be a much bigger project than what we had available in cash on hand.
Yeah.
But it is on our radar. Hopefully, we did a
last year a repair project.
Yeah, we did a repair project that we think will get us at least 5 years out of it, so we can kind of save up a little bit more for a larger project.
Anyone else? Chris?
I guess I heard several of these are kind of probably coming off, and they were on here for good reason, so maybe I would you gave us a really high level, but maybe everything that's coming off as a follow-up, we kind of get a little bit more of a report, just infrastructure maintenance. What did we find out? What did we do? What are we going to continue doing? I think some sort of a, it was important enough that we put on here and kind of understand what was figured out, what got done, and the way what's going to continue going on if it comes off of here. I'm not disagreeing that it should come off because many of these have become routine, but kind of what maybe what comes out of it and what would we expect to be routine.
Yeah, I think we can, when we bring this back, we can have those, that kind of detailed list of.
And maybe we probably don't even need to discuss it probably, but if we just kind of get a report to kind of digest it and just so, you know, especially everybody who wasn't in the room when these decisions were made the first time.
Sure.
Anyone else? Question for Mark. I'll get to you down here in a second. Going to the operational effectiveness, cost savings, and additional funding sources for the parks for analyzed ground maintenance and city-owned properties. It talks about the mowed turf versus the native prairie grass. That's something that I feel like we talked about when I was on the council. What's been the general trend? Are we moving that way to take some of those parks, because I remember there was a couple parks that were kind of like not decommissioned, but we're wondering what to do with them. There was talk about putting in prairie grass and going that route. Do you have an update on that?
Yeah, sure. A good example is the one that Brian had alluded to, and that is in the Salt Half and Rivers Bend Park.
Yeah.
We were mowing large areas of the Salt Half, and there was no use of that turfed areas. People were enjoying the loop, walking their dog, so forth, enjoying the actual 6-acre prairie area, but yet we were mowing this large area. So what we did is we added nodes of wildflowers to smooth out our mowing and trimming,
yeah,
both time and then also, yeah, just reducing the amount of time we spent mowing areas that weren't walked upon.
Yeah.
And in terms of the funding and the opportunity, we got funding from the Anoka Conservation District to pay for all of that. So I think that was a success in terms of limiting our costs and our time spent mowing to do other things. But then we've also seen a lot of folks actually enjoying that, mm-hmm, seniors congregating and doing plant ID and, oh, look at the butterfly and so forth. So I think we're adding value to our park system too. Some of the other park areas in like the northern one-third of our community are gravelly, sandy areas. The parks that are there are often the same size as people's lots, so they're wholly underutilized. So those are good candidates for doing that same thing. We're looking for funding to help us with that. Anoka Conservation District through Bowser is a frequent contributor, so we're tapping that,
yeah,
resource. It's not always cherished. People want to see park-like experiences in every neighborhood, but that comes at a significant cost. And so the one I'm thinking of, just north of Central Park, we have one resident that has most recently asked for a playground feature there, but yet we're investing $350,000 in a replacement playground at Central Park. And so when you have a large sprawling subdivision, probably not feasible or efficient to drive from one part of your subdivision 5-10 minutes away to a park that would only have a small play feature,
yeah,
when you could drive a similar distance to Central Park that has the full slate of amenities, restrooms, multiple destinational things there. So we're trying to reduce programming every space, and at the same time, if we can reduce our maintenance costs, I think that's a good thing. And then focus and prioritize with trails than connecting these larger destinations.
Yeah, I guess I was just curious if we're doing that, like what we did with South Bend, or Rivers Bend. Like the smaller parks you talked about, like the one off Barrio Light, where we talked about putting the radio tower or the antenna, I know that's one. I know that like Titterood Park, I've seen people use the play structures all the time, but that soccer field, and I think it's even a baseball field, is just overgrown. And so I was just curious, like, are we planning on doing those same cost-saving measures with prairie grass, native plants, in those parks that aren't being over, being utilized. It's almost embarrassing to drive past that and see the old nets and there's nothing there. It's like we should be doing something with it.
That particular site is being looked at by a radio, what's it called, radio control, the toys?
RC cars,
yeah. They want to do something there, and it would be driven by volunteers. That might be the highest and best use.
Yeah.
It's gravelly, sandy. That might be a good spot to do that.
Perfect. That's kind of just what I was thinking, is what are we doing for spots like that that don't serve much of a purpose?
Yeah, just to maybe touch on one of the things earlier, the business visit. So I visited with King Kong Hobbies.
And yep.
That was actually the individual that was kind of working with Lano back during COVID times to potentially do that RC thing there. So it kind of connected again with Mark and kind of put the ball back in his court. But and as part of that business visit, part of communications too, we did do a business spotlight for him more recently and received phenomenal feedback for that. So he was a business, just as the council's aware, that was a business that, you know, with the construction and everything, with that thing that was really struggling and was really contemplating on whether he's going to be able to survive there. So I think if we can find a way to make that happen, that would go a long way to keeping one business here. So.
Even allowing him to advertise or put up a little, you know, if he's going to maintain it, put up some signage so people know where to go get their RC car. Yeah. Dan, you had your hand up.
Just on a different topic?
Yeah, go ahead.
So just to kind of understand the process tonight, do you want feedback on these topics, or is it mainly just questions about what you've done?
Yeah, so I guess right now if there's questions on, you know, if you want us to expand on anything of what we've done for a specific one, otherwise as we get into later this evening, if there's one that you want us to keep on there, maybe add to it, things of that nature, we'll take that feedback and incorporate it into the new draft plan and come back in a month or so at a work session and hopefully get it finalized.
Okay, so I don't know if I should ask an hour later then. I guess I'll wait. We'll see.
Okay.
Jana?
For 20, trail maintenance policy, I'm not familiar with our policy that we currently have, and or do we have a map kind of like how we have all of our city streets going, and can we get that?
Yeah, the map is available on our website.
For the trails?
Yeah.
We have a park and trail map on our website. It's geared towards users or finding those destinations and making your way around our city on trails. We have a draft trail maintenance map by years, similar to what we have with a street maintenance program. We haven't formalized it in anything that is pretty. It's kind of a markup right now. But the trail maintenance policy was adopted by City Council, I think, in January of this year or December of 24.
I think December of 24.
Yeah. It's really straightforward. It just says, here's what we do, why we do it. And the essence of it is that within our general fund operating budget in the Parks Division, we have approximately $130,000 a year that we apply towards trail maintenance. It's mostly trail overlays, and on an ongoing and rolling basis, we evaluate which are best candidates for overlays or the trail maintenance. And at the same time, we look to our street maintenance program and see if there's opportunities to scale there. And that's indeed what we're looking at for this year, where we're doing trail overlays and reconstructs in our downtown area around the draw. And so we'll have an add alternate item on those bids so that the trail, the street maintenance bidders can bid on the trail project. And so we think we'll get good value on that particular trail that needs overlays in the draw. Those are about 14, 15 years old, the original trails there. They're very exposed, you know, worn. So that's a good example of the trail maintenance policy being implemented with an eye to cost efficiency. And it includes staff administration, too, so that if we're issuing these bids and going through the bidding process and so forth, we're doing trails at the same time as we do streets, so there's some economy of scale.
Follow up. Overlay, can you help me, like, are we tearing that part up to put new, or are we really talking about
overlay of?
Great question. The trail maintenance policy kind of spells out how and why and where we do that, but in this instance, we anticipate that the west half of the draw park will be a mill and overlay, is that what we call it? So we pick up all the bituminous, and then we reapply some of it, and then new pavement. But in the east half, which was actually constructed a year later, the best manner forward looks to be a simple overlay for a few different reasons. So we make that decision based upon examining the unique conditions in the field and then specify it accordingly.
So there's a few trails that have these massive roots that are taking over these areas versus blacktop. Nature wins, right? Are we working only in the core? Are we just because I obviously didn't know we had a map on the website of what we're doing, but then you kind of said, no, we don't have a map on the website. We have something, but it's not publishable because it's not pretty, right?
We're getting there.
Okay.
But to your point, we look for the areas that are needed the most. We're not focused solely on our downtown. If we look over the last 15 years of our trail maintenance, it really has been geographically broad.
Where we're doing the next job. I want the next job, because when there's neighbors in Ward 4 that have expressed their concern, especially over by the townhome area near behind that, help me with whatever fire department that is over there too, sure. There's trails over there in the roots, and they're like, are we ever going to get taken care of? We can't even take runs anymore because it's just that bad. You just can't run, and it's like, oh, if you can't run, that means you definitely can't take a bicycle back there, and no skateboards or anything else.
Sure. I'm not aware of what that particular concern might be in that area. I will say that the year before last, we had replaced the trails, a complete mill and overlay across from the Ramsey Elementary School. I think that's probably in your ward, on the east side of Nowthen Boulevard, and that was because of all the cottonwoods that were pushing shoots up through the trail. Mm-hmm. So we addressed that the year before last. Last year, we addressed another area of problem tree roots south of Sunwood Drive, south of Krypton Street by 145th Avenue. And we had done that in a low area of a wetland, which also had significant tree rooting impact. And we varied the trail maintenance technique to use class 2 crushed granite, such that it's more pliable, it can move a little bit, and then if we do have the tree roots that will reoccur, as you indicated, then we simply regrade it. So we're moving around our city with our trail maintenance program.
So if you could just burn, I know it's not pretty, but if I could get a copy of that so that way I can kind of look at that and help that neighbor that is kind of like, my trails didn't get taken care of, and I like to jog. What is wrong with this? It would just kind of help that conversation the next time I see her.
I get pictures, too, and send them to Mark, like the specifics, so you can see them.
Okay.
So you're looking for the trail maintenance plan, just like we have the road. It shows this is the roads we're doing, these are ones that are coming
exactly.
due.
Exactly, so
these
that
are
way
the
she can be like,
on.
Oh, we're doing this in 2025, or maybe we're doing it in 2028. Like, mm-hmm. just that conversation can kind of get down versus, we're never taking care of our trails. Well, no, we are.
Yeah.
Maybe not those ones yet.
We have a certain amount of resources.
Right.
This is when your trail is...
And that would be... good for a conversation. So,
I have a question more for staff. So I know at the last meeting we were talking about if people have problems with potholes, they can go on the website and report that. Is that something they can do with trails too?
I don't
just
know.
Wonder if that's an option.
So there's a drop-down menu. I don't know what Mark, do you know, is that one of the drop-down menu items?
I don't know, but we certainly
can have it.
Yeah, on a weekly basis, we get a lot of feedback from our residents about what they're seeing. In the field for needs, and we respond to it all.
guess I'm thinking that might be a good way to address the residents' needs, since they're out there all the time on the trails, and staff members, we can't always be out there.
And sometimes, frankly, residents have a different expectation of what trail surfaces look like. For instance, we have one dear friend that lives just northwest of our downtown area here. He's really concerned with cracks in the trail, and it bugs him. It really doesn't have a significant effect to walking, biking, or running, but the cracks bug them. So in a situation where we have vertical separation, something that's a trip hazard, that's something that we respond to right away and we patch outside of our trail maintenance program. But pavement especially gets older, it gets cracks, and so we're always addressing immediately safety concerns, but some of the feedback is an aesthetic. They have a vision of a trail that looks like their paved driveway that's seal-coated every other year in black and pretty.
So it sounds like it wouldn't be hard to take our current software we're using for potholes, duplicate that, and then upload that link onto the Parks and Rec page.
It exists. You can report a problem in the parks, and the request tag could be trails and sidewalks.
But does it have the ability to take the photo and sync with GPS? Because that'd be nice.
You can add photo.
Yep. Okay.
So same thing.
So that's in the drop-down menu? Yeah. The trail? Oh, good.
Just trails and parks. Anything you want to do in parks. I mean, you want to say Mark made fun of you?
I'm going to do that. Kirsten?
Mine's kind of piggybacking on Shanna's. Is there some sort of map that shows us like the trails that are actually supposed to be maintained by a housing development group instead of the city? Because I know when I was like door knocking, some folks were mentioning that the houses back behind like the bowling alley, there's a trail back there, and then they were saying that it wasn't cared for well, but I think half of it is city and half of it's like the housing development, or I could be mistaken when I'm saying this, but...
I'm not aware of any trails that are, they're sidewalks, I'm not aware of any trails that are owned by the Homeowners Association. But in that area, and Shana will know this one well, in the Rivenwick subdivision, there's the county parkland that borders the Mississippi River that is south of all those townhomes in that area. And that's an example where there is shared jurisdiction, where the county has trail, and then we have some city trail connections to that. And that particular area is going to be subject of a mill and overlay this year, where the county is paying for their portion, and that opportunity-driven notion is that we knew that the county was planning on getting in there. It was supposed to be in 24, but it got pushed out to 25. We are applying about $11,500 to do our city trail connection. So that's that opportunity-driven one, where we get good efficiency by kind of riding along with their project. And so also kind of that larger point, you know, it's not practical to identify trail maintenance out 15, 20 years because so many environmental conditions will change, opportunities will change, trails deteriorate and wear at different times. There's other things that drive that. So our trail maintenance program, you know, we'll be able to project out a year or a few, but not years out like we might do in a more sophisticated trail maintenance or street maintenance program.
Anyone else? How are we doing, Brian? Are we sticking on task here?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Okay. Why don't you get us back?
So I think if we can good review of the 2024 status, but if we can kind of jump back to the values, the vision, and the mission statement, and touch on those a little bit, and see if there's any changes desired, or if we're okay with them.
Suburban thing.
Going to stay suburban.
We had big discussions about that past year's.
The terminology.
I think we've even accomplished wherever it was identified in code was updated to suburban as well. So.
What was it beforehand?
Urban.
Ramsey, that's urban.
We don't need to bring it up. I brought it up actually.
Thanks, yeah. So, yeah, our current values are ethics and integrity, fiscal responsibility, cooperation and teamwork, open and honest communications, excellence and quality in the delivery of service, serving people with respect and fairness, and then adaptability and continuous learning. We do have them posted throughout City Hall and other facilities, so staff can see them on a daily basis if it's not like a children at play sign that you drive by every day and disregard it. But and then our vision is Ramsey will be a secure, citizen-driven, collaborative community that respects the balance and connectivity between its unique suburban, rural, and natural environments. And our mission is to work together to responsibly grow our community and to provide quality, cost-effective, and efficient government services. Generally good. Okay.
Sounds good.
We can move on to just kind of the exercise activity and note kind of four different main questions for now. What's working well, not working well, what are we doing we should not, should be doing, and what are we currently doing that we should not be doing. We can start with what's working well in the city. And we can write, kind of write them up on the board and feel free to throw them out as you think of them.
All right, throw them out.
Well,
it's working well, team.
It seems like.
Go ahead.
I don't know if I know, but I mean, it seems like less staff turnover than in the previous. I mean, it's the staff morale. Do you think that's going pretty well? I guess it's a question slash. I mean, from a high level, kind of what I've observed from the past.
I think it's going well. Yes. Last survey, we were at 75%.
As opposed, or do you know where we were before that?
Oh, yes. In 2007, we were 96. In 2011, we were 48. 2014, 77. 2016, 94. 2019, 81. And I said 2023 was 75%. And that is to answer the question, would you recommend the city of Ramsey as an employer to friends or family?
That's a good question. So we're doing okay right now.
We're doing okay, but I do have a higher goal.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So, you know, maybe not then, I don't know.
Well, if the trend is improving, that's important.
I think wages help.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question about the contract negotiations last year. That seems to be a big portion of it. We got a lot of that behind us last year.
There was a lot of gratitude expressed.
I would argue that that was probably the one major focus of the budget season. Big emphasis on that, both from the staff desires and council wanting to take care of that and get satisfactory feedback. So.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan. Chris?
Our street reconstruction program.
$10 million a year on average the last 3 years, somewhere in there. And five plus for the next 8 years.
Brian, do you want someone to write this down too, or you can just take pictures?
I'll take a picture.
Okay. What else we have? I think our social media, I think it was highlighted in the strategic plan, but I feel like we've done a good job connecting to our residents. The city council updates and highlights that go out at the end of every meeting I think are great. And we advertise what's going on in the city quite a bit. There's no lack of communication there. What's going well right now?
Not my arrival.
Kirsten?
I think our community events and like events put on by our parks department and the parks themselves are good. We seem to have a lot of activity at the parks. We have a lot of engagement with park events. We have a lot of engagement with community events like Happy Days.
If I can piggyback off that. Park improvement plan. I, you know, see what we're doing in Central Park, and it's great that we're getting cut up. Did we ever get that one table repaired? at Emerald Park?
Yes.
Okay, good. Was there, what, 23 years not repaired or something, he said?
He was only 18. Don't exaggerate. Come on.
What do you guys think about our economic growth? I feel like we're finally, I mean, with Aldi, with we got Chipotle, Starbucks.
I think we're on track.
What's that?
I think we're on the right track.
I think we're
definitely.
We're trending in the right direction. I feel like we're finally filling things out. King Big Cat.
Yeah.
Come on.
Sir.
Sir, yeah, sir.
Chanticleer.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can say Chipotle and then until they're actually up, but.
Like that was pretty bold to say Starbucks. That's the only one that of Taco Bell and mm-hmm. Chipotle. Starbucks is on the way, but it's not. They don't have a signed lease yet.
Okay.
The other two do.
He's an optimist.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
They're on their fourth iteration of the lease.
Okay.
It's not exactly the city, but the Highway 10 construction. I mean, I think it went very well, or has gone very well, and then I anticipate this year, you know, it's already started. Anticipated being pretty good also.
Not for the minutes, but Birdie said settlements have occurred. So even the part that didn't go well on it sounds like it's past us. So.
Good. For the Ames.
Oh, got it.
Kirsten and the Dan.
This can kind of go under employee stuff, but I guess separate because the fire department does a really good job of recruiting, especially when we're growing and it's a different kind of pay structure. And I think they're doing a really good job of, you know, keeping afloat considering how quickly we're growing and how maybe we need to invest more in their equipment and things like that. And they're working really hard to work with their employees to make sure that they're happy, want to stay there, especially when they have guys that are full-time in other spaces. So looking at, you know, the long, like the length of time they need to be vested for and things like that.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll be like, Chris, it's not related to Ramsey and all, but I'm just teasing. I like how you preface that. It's just funny. Obviously it was. I think the someone's got to be a little late in here. Okay, I think the core development, you know, the Lake Ramsey, whatever we're going to call it, and just bringing everything to level, and it seems like it's really picking up with the TIF districts. And there's something else, but yeah, that's the main thing I was thinking of now. Oh, and I was going to say, just right along with what Kirsten said, I think Brad's done a great job of transitioning the police department. It's been a smooth transition from what I can tell. But again, I don't deal with day-to-day, but, you know.
And dealing with things that we haven't seen really in our community often, all kind of hitting at once.
Yeah.
So.
All right. What else? Anything else? It's going well. Economy, public safety, HR, Parks and Rec.
Well, we've talked about park events, but I would say our business events also.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a perennial one. Yeah, I think they're.
Yeah, they're always well attended and well advertised.
Sure, I guess.
Cleaning up the city code. Cleaning up the various parts of the city code. Very big deal.
So proactively looking at. Improving the city code policies.
I mean, it's yeah, it's a really good job. I've seen it in 5 years of planning commission. I've never seen so much work go through. Sign code. I never knew it'd be so in depth. Matt did a great job on it. I know so much about signs.
When the code originates in the 1970s, technology changes.
A lot of feedback about the lack of helicopter pads now, though. That's,
yeah, I know.
It's been discouraging.
I feel that there's overall improvement too with inner relations with departments here. So even with the last, I've just been here over 2 years, and I I've seen a lot of professional growth with the relationships between the departments.
Yeah, thank you for adding that. And anybody else on the staff side that sees something, I think your perspective would be valuable as well.
Water treatment plan. It's going to be huge.
Yeah. Water treatment facility.
When is substantial completion for that?
Soon.
Do you want
I just drove past. I'm like, it's still in.
Late summer, early fall.
Okay.
We'll turn it on. And
maybe water will come out?
We have some messaging that needs to happen between now and then.
Yeah.
What to expect. But we'll say by frost, it should be much better.
Sean?
From the Highway 10 construction project angle, I know when we started that project, I think we fell a little flat on communication with businesses. They were hearing about things a lot of times the day or two before things were happening. Since we've transitioned from Zan to Bolton and Mink, I've heard a lot of positive feedback on how that's going. And then in addition to that, how they've hired Greg Weber to go out and meet individually with businesses before stuff. So that's an area that I think it wasn't us, we were contracting it to be done, but the perception was bad. That's improved. So I would say we're doing that well now.
Awesome.
I guess I would add, since from an HR perspective, getting the personnel policy updated, getting our vacation accrual schedule more in par with our competing cities, the early notice incentive prior to resignation, conversion of sick time to ESST, those have all been very positive.
Okay.
I think I put it under this one, but our boards, commissions, council, you guys come to meetings prepared. I appreciate that. Staff appreciates that. We can spend a lot less time on the education component, and you guys are reading packets and ready to make decisions and ask some kind of just finalized questions versus and help us understand this. So
I think that can go two ways, too. I think the packets are prepared well for the council. So a lot of the questions that we may have, those questions are answered through the packets themselves. And then, I noticed this. I don't know if anybody else noticed this. When we hear a case, we have it in our packet. Then what's presented on the screen, I'm just missing it, as often has additional information, different views, different things of that nature. Would we be able to, is that the result of working that after the agenda is posted and just improving it? Because there are times where I read through the packet, I look at the case, I read through the case, and then what's presented on the screen is, additional facades or, what they're showing, what the buildings are going to look like, different views and things. I think it works out fine. I mean, we have such a baseline that what's different on the presentation than what's in the packet, it's so minimal, it's not too difficult. But is that usually because after the packet goes out, you're finalizing the presentation afterwards?
Yeah, and sometimes it's the developer's finally getting us that stuff.
Okay.
Where we don't want to say, no, we're waiting 2 weeks because the packet's due. Came up to us Friday, Monday. A lot of times too, like that's not a final plan, so there's a little bit of we don't necessarily want everything in a packet, because people will say, well, that's what was in the packet, why it didn't end up like that, but it's more of just a kind of an example of here's the direction we're heading.
Do we go back and do we upload that presentation to the minutes?
No, but it's part of the recording that goes on QCTV's website.
And I've gone back before and I was like, I remember seeing that, but it was in the presentation, not in the packet. I'm trying to find it again. It's a side tangent, but I think it's going well. I think the packet's done well. I think if there's anything, it would be maybe adding that later on in the presentation. But kudos to the staff for putting it together. Anything else on improvements? What's going, or not improvements, but things that have improved that are going well?
I was just telling Mark today, the twinkle lights this winter look fantastic. Campus here.
Yeah. job, Mark.
You did a well, too.
A little winter wonderland. Very festive.
Do you want to add more for other?
No, I just was turning to see if you wrote Twinkle Lights.
No.
I was kind of hoping you did.
There you go. Anyone else? Houston?
I'll just piggyback off you a bit. We're just saying, like, I really appreciate the collaboration that we have in this room with all of you guys. I think it's super helpful for at least myself. I don't want to speak for everyone, but, I mean, there's obviously a lot of newer folks here, and your perspective and your guidance and your expertise is really what helps me make my decisions. And it's super great to be able to have a really good working relationship with everyone in here and feel like we're a good cohesive team, and it's not us versus you or anything like that. It's just really all of us working together. So I appreciate that.
All right. You got a pretty good list there.
Good job, Brian.
We think more, throw them out, we can come back.
The list is really good.
Good list.
It's a really good list.
Spelling is probably not perfect, so don't judge. That's why they invented spell check.
You write small enough, nobody can tell.
Right.
Yeah, we can't read it anyway.
That's my strategy.
Yeah. Doesn't know how spell work.
I have no idea what you're putting up there. Not working well.
Dan.
I think one thing is just a trend, and hopefully it'll get better. It's just I'm not saying it hasn't been needed, but just the reality of the budget increasing so much. That's probably the biggest thing that I hear now from residents is just feedback. And again, I supported many of them, and I'm not saying it wasn't necessary, but it's just the feedback I've been hearing, and it's definitely been going on.
I have an internal one.
Yes.
So, and I don't like to say not working well, but because we are a growing city, and we feel that on a staff level too, and we have a lot of like old ordinances and old policies and a lot of old ways of thinking and doing things. And I think that's something in here that we need to take a look at and be a little bit more open with some changes as we move forward, because we are a different city than we were years ago. So it's just something to, for staff, as we're working together. Yes, needs improvement.
Embracing a mindset of change.
Yeah, embracing change.
I think when we have a high retention rate, that's really great, obviously, for institutional knowledge, but then with that comes maybe people leaning too heavily and doing things the old way. Versus innovating. Yeah. All right, what's not working well, Kirsten?
What we can improve on, instead of what's not working well, is trying to fit some more things into our budget that are requests of our public safety departments. So if our police department is seeking funding for certain things, or our fire department is, we got to find a way to make that work.
How would you?
Your drone, dude. Your drone.
You can have your drone.
You don't get your drone.
Chris?
I was going to add this right before she said it, but it's the same idea, but the cost of replacing our fire trucks is not working well.
You weren't expecting a response on that, were you?
If you can figure out how to buy them like 50% off, like clipping coupons or, you know.
Maybe there's a big dent in it.
There's a song about that. It's a 19 whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just grab parts.
As oh, yeah.
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 I think along with that is how we're looking forward on our capital purchases and where that funding is coming from. That's could be a bigger focus. Everything just costs more. And
I'm not public safety related, so I'm just going to jump right back into it. I think it would be good to separate the fire department and the police department's outreach for social media and make sure that their social media is more consistent with the way that Pat presents for social media. I think right now, just because it's in-house in the police department, the fire department may not have that opportunity to put as much on there as the police department does. Not because of any like malintent, of course, just convenience, right? And so, unless you hate me for that, you look like you want to kill me. I don't know. It's fine.
Well, that takes staffing and time.
I'll do it for you. It's fine. Tuesdays, I'll be there.
I think that's, we circled around this earlier, 24, and just kind of came back to that conclusion that they just had some available staff, that so we send them what we would like to have posted. And even that, it's just finding the time to send them stuff. So it's
maybe it's something Pat can swallow up to, but whatever works best.
Well, it kind of to expand it, we looked at it from a fire and police have a combined page, and you know, do they separate it? Do we have staff to separate it? Parks expressed an interest of having a separate page. EDA or Belmont, I think, expressed an interest of having a separate page. And at the time, it was how do we do that with existing staffing levels and yet still have a uniform platform? And it didn't make sense at that time, but. Yeah, I think you're right. It was early 24, late 23, somewhere in there.
It's just the concern with social media. If you're not responding or if you're not updating, you're not going to be followed anymore.
A dead page is dangerous. It says more than not having a page at all. Chris and Dan.
Like the perception or hangover that our roads were in such bad shape, I feel like I still hear that our roads are in bad shape, and I it's people who I think often don't understand how far we've come or everything that's been done. I guess separating that from the fact that I said our road reconstruction program is going very well, you know, I think again it's partly a perception, but there's also the saying that perception is reality.
It comes down to communication thing, probably.
Yeah.
I think right along with that, and we've already kind of talked about public safety, but I think it should be a focus this year, personally, to get rid of gravel roads. I think that's something that's not working well with gravel roads in Ramsey still. Or at least start the process. I know it's going to be multi-year. But
2 or 3 2 miles?
2 miles. Spread out over what?
Obviously, specifically
5 or 6
in my ward,
really, or something like that.
You know, college.
We're discussing it.
Can we throw one back on the working well, which is communication from public safety regarding incidents?
Yeah.
I feel like we did a good job in the police department, especially with the most recent incident with people moving to and from the city. I think it was proactive. It was transparent. I think that was a good call.
We've talked about that. We don't want to get too out there on every little thing that's happening, but yeah, those big ticket items, it was...
I mean, we were going to have 80, 90 people here that next week, so I think that one was warranted to over-communicate. What else? Things we can improve upon. I think from a staff level, we need to do better.
One thing that just that we can keep, it's funny because I actually kind of going wild for our last meeting, but I think it should at least be something to focus on with the old empty town hall. So I don't necessarily know if you say it's not going well, but I think if we're using this to build kind of focuses, then that'd be something that the Mishan community to focus on. And I mean, Sean's just dropping the ball. He
told me
he's
done
nothing.
That was hurt.
I don't need this bomb. It's like, come on, dude.
I said the events were going very well.
Oh, yeah.
Kirsten.
If we're going on things that like we'd like to see pushed more, I guess the Dayton Bridge situation, that's not going well. Right? Like, we've just kind of not seen any movement forward.
Let's keep that for what should be.
Well, everything that we're not doing well should be what we should be doing. So,
I gotcha. So my stuff isn't really fitting right now. Okay.
Maybe just do not doing well / let's fix it.
We'll put it on here with a question mark.
is like, we're blaming me too much. That's not
going
on.
Oh, no, this isn't a retort by any means. I was kidding. One thing, this is just an observation from someone that's very, very on the fringe, but I would say that the transition to Accela has not gone well to this point. It has gone, it just hasn't, we'll leave it at that. It has not gone well.
Do you want to elaborate on that? Like,
it's
what
taking,
is Accela?
What is it?
Accela essentially is incorporating our, well, we had a PIM system for entering, starting with our building, and then a Bluebeam, not Bluebeam, but a system that got phased out for buildings. So we knew we had to implement a new system probably a year and a half, 2 years ago now. And so we've gone through about three or four iterations, and we finally landed on Accela, and it's taking longer than they told us it would take.
Over 2 years so far.
So
for the integration?
Yeah.
Yes, we are the pilot project.
And I'll expand on a little bit. It's not, it's a result of Ramsey partnering with a bunch of communities and LOGIS, mm-hmm. and LOGIS saying, we can do this, and the communities saying, all right, run with it, and it's not successful.
We need
not to
partner
with LOGIS too much, but there was a massive financial software implementation that failed miserably and actually got scrapped and lost millions and millions of dollars from the LOGIS account. So,
Is that the one we discussed? The Edward Jones or what was it? The
Oracle.
Is that?
So did it start out as ERP?
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah.
It was a couple years ago. We put it in place where we had funding established,
yeah.
and then we were going to be. Like 2 years into it, where other cities were going to go first, and that whole
HR
period, one
the
city was
yes.
the one implementing it. They were the guinea pig, and they failed. They walked away, said this is not working, and so LOGIS pulled the contract. And
they just say told you so, but they just saying
And then now we're experiencing it. I don't know that it's quite to the level of completely pulling, but it's not going smooth and as quick as they originally said it could.
And just on a quick side note, just because that's what I, you know, it's the companies I've worked for my entire life implement ERP and this kind of software. You just need to find a different partner that can do it. I mean, there are ones out there that, you know, don't, and obviously you probably know government contracts and stuff, but there are probably good ERPs, you know, solutions or partners that, anyways.
You're right.
But yeah, we're stuck because
a lot of it was a cost
benefit
analysis, and, you know, it was substantially cheaper to partner with many other cities. And same with this Accela one. We looked at, I don't know, four or five different options, and this one was the cheapest, and they said they could meet all the needs, and it's taking much longer. But,
yeah. At the Laserfish workflow, IT is collaborating with admin. It's working well.
Did you say Laserfish?
Yes. I know there are some.
We have the machines back there. Do you see that? We get the little slides out, and that's how we look up stuff.
It's our document imaging retention.
It's raw minutes and agendas are archived.
It's going well from staff's perspective. The changes that we've made for putting that organized, putting it on automatic retention, so things will drop off automatically, almost automatically, with approval of staff based on retention.
That's been all Ramsey staff managed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has.
What's our staff using for internal communications? Like, are you guys using Teams or Meets or chats, or is it just straight email?
Just straight email.
During COVID, it was Teams, but yeah, it's mostly email.
Is that something that is like just straight email? Is that something that could improve?
We get a lot of emails.
Having a chat space is definitely, can be a lot. It can definitely increase productivity.
My Slack or something.
Even
something?
You make Teams meetings, Teams calls, Teams. There's so much in there.
We do that. So, like, for our meetings, we have some folks that stay at their desks in remote. And so, like, for our staff meetings and stuff, we do use the same technology.
But you're not using it for communications as far as like instant messaging.
No. That's interesting.
That is very interesting.
Or, send a quick email. But.
Yeah, I mean, every large corporation that I know of, I mean, they're either using Slack or they're using Teams or Meets or Google Chats or whatever, so I don't know. Maybe something to think about.
Sure.
There is a lot of collaboration that can happen when you create a chat room with everybody in it, and you have a question, you just direct message somebody and get a response back. A couple of files.
Could be challenging. Embracing internal process change, but...
Yeah, even like the two companies that recently met on, like 30 people, and like, yeah, I can't use Teams for everything. You know, so much more efficient. But
yeah, just a thought. It's wild. Everything's just emails and phone calls. That's probably like
text.
And text.
We do a lot of text.
We're old school.
The field and us, so.
Yeah.
Secret group chats.
You guys have like a lower level outlook though than the county does too. I feel like you guys have a lot less options on your like email functionality wise than, because when I worked for the county, we also had like chat, like messaging, so that you could chat with anyone in the county anywhere, and then I don't know, the outlook just doesn't seem to function as well. But we're trying to save money, right? So I don't know. Maybe this doesn't make sense.
All right. Yes, Todd.
Inconsistent direction on code enforcement matters.
Now, is that from the council?
Mostly.
Yeah. Is it inconsistent direction? Explain, expound. Like, because there's the council and they'll look at. Yes. Are you saying like enforcing different policies or ignoring different policies?
It's a little of each. Something may come up in one neighborhood, and, mm-hmm. and a council member may get involved and say, "Yeah, you need to take action on this." But the same thing happens in a different neighborhood, and the council member works with that resident to circumvent things.
So I'm thinking of council has discretion to look at each situation individually and look at it based on its merits, but what you're saying is you don't necessarily see consistency in that.
Right.
It's not like one council member's like, every variance is a go, and that's just where they're at. There are council members that are all over the board depending on the situation. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it might even be, correct me if I'm wrong, like even like a policy portion of, okay, you know, code enforcement, you know, maybe it is where it comes down that we have to have some type of code enforcement policy on how do we go out and enforce certain issues. You know, if we see one issue in a neighborhood and that neighbor complains on another person and another person and another person, you know, where do you stop? Where does code enforcement stop?
Right.
I think part of some of the challenges where the council's role, you certainly want to help your residents. You want to hear their complaints and help them through things, but at some point, you do have a role of being the appeal board.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get too involved with your resident, then that could mess things up if something gets to that level because you've taken a different relationship. So if it's just work with staff, and if it gets to a point where it needs to get appealed, then we'll talk with you there. Or if it's you need to translate what the code is and say, well, this is what
mm-hmm.
you need to be doing.
Thoughts on that?
I agree. I think that we, on occasion, overstep our roles as, like, this is their everyday job. And we're supposed to be, like, citizen advocates and ensure that, like, folks have the right avenues to go take their issues up with city workers. And if it needs to be something that's, like, not black and white and it's kind of in the gray and we can mitigate it in different fashions, that makes sense. But I do understand where you're coming from, and that also there's how many of us here with different opinions and perspectives and different folks that we're trying to advocate for and have reasons and passions, and so it's very hard for all of you to try and satisfy both us and the citizens and fall within the bounds that you were given previously by different council that we then continuously change every 2 years when there's new people on, right? Like, you guys have a really, really difficult job. And so I recognize and respect that and want to make sure that we're, as a council, working towards both, like, your guys' satisfaction and our citizens' satisfaction.
I think having it up there is important because I think your perspective is important. So. Anything else, Kirsten?
Last year, I'm assuming this is from last year, the stuff that we saw that wasn't working well for that was in the packet, I just saw that, like, volunteering or finding volunteers for certain events. So I don't put it on there because I don't know. I'm asking. Mark, is that something that we're still having a difficulty, like, finding volunteers for events, or is that going better? Are we seeing more folks involved? No? Okay, you can put it up there.
Thanks for being honest.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, depends. In our
world, oftentimes, not oftentimes, sometimes, working with volunteers requires more staff time to help them be engaged. I think we have a lot of great volunteers in our community. Some of the high-profile events like Happy Days, where we look for volunteers, oftentimes the biggest volunteer pool is just relatives of the staff that is working it. They're just compelled to volunteer. So I think we can always do better. I guess I would maybe respond with a question. In our previous strategic plans, there had been that notion that we should do a better job recognizing volunteers. I think we can do that, but you know that takes a lot of time and effort too. And oftentimes, it's like the volunteers, the good ones, often they don't want to be recognized. They just want to do it for the right reasons, and they want to be part of the community. So if on kind of an ongoing basis, if there's things that council would want to see more recognition of volunteers, I think it would be useful for staff to know that so we can kind of curate those events. Because right now, we're not putting a lot of time into volunteer recognition. So you may not be aware of all the volunteers that are, you know, on the ground doing good things in our community. And oftentimes when we ask, you know, can we recognize you at this event for what you've done? It's like, no, I don't need that.
I think sometimes recognition can be a recruitment tool, though, too. Because there's a lot of people that don't know that there are people volunteering and that there's even options to volunteer. So definitely want to not put more on you guys. At the same time, you're recognizing people on a regular basis. I think it brings to the forefront that there are volunteer opportunities available for residents that may not realize that. So maybe finding a balance between the two of those. All right, we got a decent list for not working well. Anything else that anybody wants to add on there before we move on? Shanna.
It's probably not the appropriate place, but maybe it is. What has gotten off the what's not working well list from 2024, seeing that you've had a whole year as staff and other council members that have been here, what's dropped off last year's list?
We have the list on the case. Let's hope large tax levy increase dropped off.
Was single digit.
You know, website navigation, I feel like that's something that's
so they were on the list last time?
So these were the ones
but
that were on the
not
list
not
for
the
progress. Before. So
yeah.
If they aren't there, then that means that they aren't a problem now.
Do you want us to, like, talk,
I think
say them out loud and see if people still think they're sad?
Or? Right, no.
Okay,
yeah.
Plan review software, land use, building permit, etc. applications, it's up there, it sucks. Okay. Some outdated policies, we did just have a discussion about some policies being kind of wonky. Or hard to navigate. Vehicle availability for staff, order delivery time.
That was during the
like
era.
Squad cars, we
chip shortages.
We purchased like 4 squad cars 1 year and it took 2.5 years to get them. I think it's settled
down. It's not as good as it used to, but it's not as bad as it was a couple years ago either.
I think that's fair to say. We during COVID or the middle part to later part of COVID times that we got backlogged quite a bit, and I think we had to take delivery of about 7-8 squads one year just because it was so backlogged.
Yeah. The fire truck that we just ordered this year used to take 1 year to get. Now it's 2 years. So it's not anything that we could probably control other than being more prepared and looking further in advance. And, you know, if we know we need something next year or 2 years from now, we should really be looking at almost ordering it late this year.
Okay. All right, a large tax levy increases future capital funding sources. So I guess maybe it's not going well that we're not like thinking about things 2 years ahead instead of 1 year. Like we could put that on there. Boulevard, park, and trail maintenance, lack of past staffing levels.
I think we've made really great progress on it. I don't know that we've made the progress and had it in place long enough to know if we've accomplished everything that we desired, but.
Communication on business prospects, other open houses / events.
I can maybe take that one. I mean, we talked a little bit about that last time, and a lot of that was education from a council perspective on kind of when you get to know about something from a confidentiality standpoint. So I've, at least with the previous council, I thought we got to a point where they were comfortable knowing where they could find that information, when it was available, and knowing they could contact me at any time. The risk you run, and again, we did it a little bit today without, you know, building permits pulled and things along those lines, is that when you put a name out there and for whatever reason the deal doesn't happen, that just never looks good from a city perspective. So we're somewhat guarded as to how confident we are when we want to say so-and-so is coming based on where they're at in the process. So I deal with a lot of prospects that are not to the point where they're buying city land, not to the point where they are going to a site plan, not to the point where they're buying privately held land to do a private development where we're finding sites for them. But one thing that we are doing better, I think, is, for example, and I think this is one of the reasons that was on here last time, was we had a project, the U-Haul project, and there was some concern that we turned away a project before we had the opportunity to see if we could make it work. And I think we're doing a much better job at a staff level. If we're getting ones where we're not sure, we're bringing it to work session or we're doing things like that. So I think that's why that was on there, and I think it's better now, but correct me if I'm wrong.
I would agree. Say it a little different, but that questionable project where it might work, but code doesn't necessarily say absolutely, and you know, if we think that council might be in open to the idea, we'll bring it to a work session before even that business spends a bunch of money on a land use application. So,
next up,
Dan.
Okay. So, I think that's such the balance of kind of having a black and white view of, and that's kind of what you have to do, right? Because they set the code of a black and white of, like, you know, this doesn't fit in this zoning, this isn't in here, how can we make it work, or how can we, and I think that has gotten better in communication, but I think, you know, and I even heard, you know, and seen feedback, even like with O'Reilly's and the core standards, if you're having to put the facade brick things there, you know, do we want to continue that? Is that going to affect our new businesses? And you know, I just want to make sure that we have an attitude within that of how do we get to that yes. And if we see like this policy or this thing that's in place is really preventing something that we know residents really want, we'll bring it to us right away. And if we need to change it, and I think our involvement as well can help us find things that need to be done or rezoned, like the driveway policy. You know, that was something that we had majority of council and decided would be a good change for the city. That's based on resident feedback. And if we hadn't gotten involved and hadn't heard that, and they just, you know, so I think it's a back and forth of, you know, we're here to represent the residents and collaborate with staff, and I think we had great collaborations on that one, and we decided to make a policy change because of it. So it's a balance of both, but I want to make sure that we can, you know, as we're working together, get, you know, towards yes and not just push things out maybe as we did in the past. But.
I like it.
Website navigation, follow through on cases returning to council after direction, effectiveness on work session discussions, which said need more time for council discussion, bring smaller sections for review, and better clarity on what council can change or what staff needs direction on.
Chris?
I think that was a huge win.
Yeah.
You know, we continually have extra time, so I think I think the first line isn't correct. It was just decided on before. But I think smaller sections for us to review has helped. And then the better clarity, I think that maybe has come a little bit from staff. I think it's come also from the mayor. And also I think our council makeup has had a lot to do with that. But I mean, I think that's been a huge win, that that's working well.
And I know we have a lot of new people that follow through on cases returning to the council after direction. I feel like that hasn't been an issue. So.
I didn't do it.
So, Brian, did you put work session on working well now? That's what I heard.
I think Sean needs to be out of working well now.
Forever Sean.
It's been Sean.
And the last one was community volunteers happy days. So we talked about that
one. Yeah, all right, anything else before we move on to what are we not doing that we should be doing?
Thank you, Sean.
Do we need a new board for that one?
Yeah.
Are you rotating over?
That's okay.
Hearing none. What are we doing that we should, what are we not doing that we should be doing?
Order question. Agenda-wise, what after this are we still going kind of through this action plan, or what all do we want to accomplish tonight?
Yeah, I think if we can go through these next two, and then the opportunities and impacts will go pretty quick, and then we'll hoping we have the better part of an hour to kind of talk strategy and action plan items.
When are we scheduled?
8:30.
Okay, that's good. Okay.
Do a short break here a little bit.
That's fine. Just want to make sure we're done.
What are we not doing that we should be?
From staff?
Everyone.
From staff, encouraging hookups to municipal services in areas where municipal services are available. I feel that there is a lack of encouraging businesses that could be hooking up to municipal services to encourage them to do that rather than getting new septic systems or
I'm assuming we're letting them know services are available.
Yes.
And we're
yes, but there are times it might be like cost prohibited for them.
Well, the cost being our fees.
Yeah.
So are there fees in the way? Fees that are standing in the way of keeping them from doing it?
Yes, so they
and
would
if they
rather
did do it, it'd be a benefit to the city?
Yes.
And to them.
Should be a
waiver. But it's a financial burden on them.
So we should be having some sort of waiver for fees if it's in the mutual interest of this company and the city?
Well,
I don't know.
What does the fees look like? I mean, I've never seen the schedule before, but
that's my question. Is it trunk fees that are meant to pay for their share of
mm-hmm.
getting the utilities
yep.
that others have paid for? So there's kind of an equity?
Yeah, or lateral fees, right? That's what
yeah, because we're discussing when does a lateral fee apply, when doesn't, and that's a huge number.
And it's a kind of an internal discussion right now, but it's something that we feel that at some point we will have to have discussions with city council with it. You know, we have these fees to cover, let's say, laterals. Correct me if I'm wrong. To cover the lateral fees. So we had a business. What business was it that was going to hook up?
Granite City Auto.
So Granite City Auto, they needed a new septic system.
Yeah.
They had the ability to hook up to sewer and water. However, it was cost prohibitive. It was astronomical because they would have to pay the lateral fees, correct?
It was something like, I want to say it was like $1,000 range for it to start fees.
Yeah, so they decided to get a whole new septic system because they couldn't afford that. Well, I know the city's intent is to collect those fees to help pay for the cost because we put them in, but now we're out all that money.
Yeah.
We haven't collected any of it, and we're not going to now because they chose not to pay the $80,000. And so is there a way that people can get discounts as properties, you know, so they can hook up, so at least the city's recouping some of the costs?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I'd like to piggyback on that, too. I mean, especially, like, we're going to have a lot of these on Highway 10 coming up here, on some of these Ralph properties and other fill-in developments. So when it comes down to development efficiency. So you have commercial septic systems, which typically are inordinately large. So that's future building space. That's future parking lot. That's future business expansion. But it's tied up with a drain field.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like we should try and provide some sort of discount or incentive, not necessarily with new development, but for these ones that along the way
mm-hmm.
either haven't hooked up or their systems are failing, that we figure out a way to reduce that cost. And I don't know how we fund it. I don't know if the city just does some sort of analysis where we say, okay, you know, maybe we require some investment on their end that are going to improve property values that indirectly are going to help us foot that bill for not collecting a lateral charge.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but like, for example, like VV, right? So you got old Bernie VV building. It's a big old septic system in the front, and that site is so inefficient. And the reality is they sold that building. They said it was working good enough, and it was working good enough. It passed for sale. But now that site's going to be minimized, and you're going to sit there with a metal building that probably sits there much longer than it would. Whereas, it was on there before. It was called Redevelopment City Services Connection Fees. That was on there in 2024. You know, some incentive to do that. There are dollars that we can kick in through our HRA to help pay for redevelopment of buildings and things like that, demolition things. So I think that there's probably a program or a policy we could develop, but council has to be supportive of whether we're just going to waive a cost and say, you know, we put these utilities back in 2001 and, you know, we haven't been paid to this point right now. We're just not going to be paid
mm-hmm.
and hook them up. But, I mean, it's a council policy type decision.
Yeah.
I know we're not supposed to get into a lot of discussion either, right? I mean, we want
Maybe a little bit more detail, but, you know, high level, do we...
Yeah. I like that idea, too. Though. I think it's good to get people on. You know, the only caveat, of course, is, you know, I do hear a lot of feedback. Individual houses, you know, they don't want to do it, and they don't want to feel pressured to have to be on it for whatever reason, and it's in the charter. So, you know, I also tell people, it's in the charter, you don't have to do so.
Charter restricts us from requiring connection, but, to Sean's point, I mean, from a council staff perspective, do we want to look at some type of incentive opportunity? And
I love it. But I like the idea.
Impacts and everything like that.
Yeah. Keeping the budget and stuff on the end, you know, in the back of the head. But
think of it as a carrot, kind of stick.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So again, at a staff level, we do know businesses that would rather have city sewer and water. Yeah. However, it's cost prohibitive, so they just keep their
septic. No, I'd be all about that.
Yeah,
nobody wins in that situation. Sweet.
What else was on the last list?
I don't know if sewer is sweet, but.
For what we're doing, that we should not.
I kind of
focusing on long term CIP and data requests.
We're still on what?
Gravel roads and pavement improvements. Develop needs, policies, trail and stormwater maintenance.
How are we doing?
So I guess that does come over then too. Yeah, the gravel roads.
Just kidding. Sorry, that's rude.
Actually, had really good eyesight.
It's like, not to brag.
2010.
I'm
gay. Asset management system staff. We probably, I mean, we don't have a legitimate asset management system. But
JD Edwards, that's what it was called, right?
Yes.
That's the current software.
Well, asset management software?
Finance.
The ERP. Do you guys need, I mean, do you need an asset management system? I would think so. I mean, with just
squads. A series of spreadsheets right now.
Right.
We have one Excel spreadsheet and stuff like that. Is it a software specific? No.
And I guess asset management softwares can be relatively cheap. I mean, there's like Tiger Asset and Gopher Mod, and there's a couple asset management softwares. So I guess the question is, what do you guys feel like your current situation is working? Or is it going back to the way we've been doing it this way for a long time? And
my guess, not being part of historic conversation, it probably really boils down to budget impact.
Yeah.
Once we start looking at it, going, okay, well, we could use those funds better elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, our equipment and everything is in generally good shape, so it's not like we're completely behind. But staff, do we leave it on there? Consider it?
It's been on the Public Works Committee future topics calendar for 7 or 8 years now. It's been one of those things on my to-do list to follow through on in a little more detail for many, many years. So, yeah, it really boils down to cost.
Yeah, the thing about an asset management system is you have to use it for it to be effective. You upload all the squad cars into your asset management system and then never update mileage or maintenance or anything like that, then it's just a waste.
That's what we all put into the laser fiche that they were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Are you saying is that how you would do it?
No, that's how we do it right now. Is any time the squad goes in for service, whether it be to Public Works or when we get that invoice, it's put right in there, so there's a tracking system on what services have been done with it.
Okay. So laser fiche is essentially your asset management software right now?
I'm not knowledgeable about that.
Okay. That's what we're using some of it for.
But it's more of a repository for records than it is asset management. So, like,
it's a
system. You're not going in there and pulling files. The benefit of asset management system is Brian could hop in there and say, all right, what squad cars do we have out right now for maintenance? What is the average cost? Let's pull a report saying, how often are we getting oil changes? That's the benefit of the asset management software. How many plow trucks do we have that are active? The problem is, like I said, you have to update that information constantly. Otherwise, it just becomes another program that doesn't work.
So we do have that for our fleet. We have an asset management software. It can't talk to any of the other assets management software. I mean, it's nice to have an asset management software that you can use across all the different departments and different users. So.
I guess that question just goes to the staff then, because I think from the city council perspective, I don't want to be involved in asset management. I think we should be high level, not micromanaged. So do you guys feel like you need an asset management system? Because the question is, what are we not doing that we should be doing?
Can I expand on that a little more? So when I started in 2013, Kurt Ulrich and I had many conversations on this. And at the time, asset management, you need good data, right?
Yeah.
We didn't have good data. We didn't have data points for our different assets, mm-hmm. manholes, castings, things out in the field we didn't have any data for. So we've been working to gather that data. Mm-hmm. We now have a pretty good data repository.
Yeah.
So now if we had an asset management program, we would have the data to put in to actually use it. So we've been on that data building track for years, and now we're getting there, but it's still going to take, we still have to go out and gather a lot more data, but we're closer to being able to use it effectively, I guess is what I'm saying.
Is it safe to say this is both for vehicles and infrastructure?
Vehicle and infrastructure, absolutely.
What about IT equipment?
Yeah.
Included?
Yeah, I mean, like at my company's asset management software, I could go on there and say, how many devices do we have that are older than 10 years old? And I'll say, these are the devices, here's who they're assigned to, here's the monitors they were issued, yeah. And I could look at that and say, okay, we need to start swapping out computers for these 10 employees because, so I mean, it just gives you that data that you can start pulling reports and start proactive planning. With manhole covers, you could say, generate the list of all the manhole covers and do oldest installation date first, and you can start looking through and be like, oh my gosh, we have a manhole cover that's 25 years old. I don't know if that means anything, but just having that data, be able to put it through those reports to build that picture of your infrastructure.
So it kind of sounds like every department in the city has their own asset management system, whatever you want to call it, your spreadsheet, or, but none of them are the same.
The benefit too is projecting need. Yeah. You'll be able to look at it. You know, you're looking at your printers, and you're like, our printers are very old.
Yeah, obsolescence.
Yeah.
And I know IT has that, but just don't follow.
Yeah, as far as I know, it's an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah. It can be very inexpensive, so I maybe it'd be a good idea to look into it.
I'd say building off of that would be a dedicated GIS person.
JS or GIS?
GIS.
GIS.
GIS. Systems.
Yeah.
What does that mean, sir?
It's like geospatial topography, right?
Yeah, you can get super duper robust.
Yeah.
What kind of, I guess, how would that be utilized in the city?
GIS is for like platting plots and.
I mean, it's more like a full time person versus like what the county has. Like, or I guess, what's the need right now in the city for that?
Oh, we could. It's
we have
endless.
A huge,
I mean,
yeah.
We could have all of our as-built plans in the system, the history on the road and all the maintenance, our stormwater ponds. It's endless. Yeah. The plats. And we do have that a little bit, I think, from Todd's perspective. It's what do we place as a priority to get updated in that system with the limited staffing that we have?
And a lot of this stuff,
not to hammer LOGIS too much, but it's managed through LOGIS and it works. But
well, it's good to know, right? I mean, I never heard of that internet, so it's, is that usually a pretty high level, you know, salary wise? It's kind of right between middle.
Middle.
So Todd and I both have been able to work in communities that have very good GIS services systems, being able to pull up pretty much any information that you need on that one system.
And then
but it is expensive to build it.
Time consuming. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we've done it over the last couple of years of making more of a public facing GIS, like with our zoning map, and that's, I think our parks and trails are on there and stuff like that, so you can have both public facing and internal where the staff can access it. So like our assets, we don't want anybody to be able to know where water mains are.
Right.
Okay. Leave it on the list to consider.
Kirsten.
Are there other staffing needs that folks want to speak to right now? Like things that we should be thinking of for the future, especially when we're talking about staffing, maybe for the fire department or the police department, or other like internal folks that we want to take on?
But.
Well, that would be something I think we're going to start talking about during the budget session.
Yeah.
But I know we're going
to
be
talking. To answer it broadly, I think the last couple of years we really caught up. I would say moving forward, the focus should be don't fall back behind. You know, at Public Works, we hired 4 positions in 1 year throughout the divisions. Or if you can kind of keep it going on a gradual incline versus the roller coaster effect. But again, it goes back to budget and recognizing those impacts and what's a priority. So,
go ahead.
So, speaking of budget, but not necessarily new staff, one thing that has come up along many times, and I just want to mention it, it would be really wonderful to have a small budget for employee wellness and staff incentives. Our health plan premiums have been coming down because I think in part we've done what we can with employee wellness. Everything we offer through employee wellness is free except for the staff time to get it out. but it's been mentioned many times it would be great to have, you know, to be able to offer a trinket, to have a competition and be able to offer something. Even several times it's been brought up to have a Culligan water bottle available on each first floor and second floor. Like some of our departments have the, where you can go up and you can fill your water bottle. Everybody knows drinking a lot of water is very good for you. Our staff have to go to just an old refrigerator and try to get water and ice out of it. It would be phenomenal to have a small budget for things like that.
I think that makes sense. And I mean, sometimes those small budgets can reduce, like you said, your premiums. Like if you have people taking proactive steps in their health, I mean, the largest increase in premium is your employees using the system more than they should, right? Or not more than they should.
Claims experience.
Yeah, so if you can reduce the claims, you can lower your premiums.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's even, like, our company did a thing where they did a step competition, who can get the most steps in a month, and the winner got a new pair of, you know, shoes of their activity, you know, New Balances or whatever.
Right.
So having an incentive like that, I'm hearing, is what you're saying?
It'd
be great to have $100 to buy a pair of shoes for the winner of the step competition.
Something. The other thing I was going to mention while I'm on a roll is one thing that I think we're not doing that we need to do is we need to get better surveillance, video surveillance on second floor and at Central Park to see what's going on at the ice rinks.
Inside the warming house or just in general?
Inside the warming house and surrounding the warming house.
Can you speak to that a little bit more? I just didn't know that there was, like, issues going on.
There's no video surveillance out there. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tim. They have kind of like a remote Arlo system that can kind of travel to designated problem areas, but it's not a dedicated backed-up camera system out there. There have been a few incidents out there from a property destruction perspective and an HR perspective, trying to prove who said what, who did what, that could have been completely avoided if there was video, in my opinion. And then we don't have video upstairs, so there could be an applicant that's upset about not getting advanced in a recruitment process, but yet the person is out stalking the hallway. And we don't have video of that. Just theoretically.
Theoretically.
What else are we not doing that we should?
Housing improvements programs, thinking of the money that we'll have coming our way and we don't really know what to do with it or have a plan for it.
What money?
The metro area sales tax towards housing.
What is it?
Is that a NOCA that does like the right in your porch kind of thing?
It was Fridley?
Yeah, there's a couple cities that have added it, and they've seen success, put in some public dollars, but then there's, you know, we're not paying for the whole project. You have to put in money, and it's a lot like a business incentive program, but then the return they see on property value increases has been pretty good. So, yeah, we've got a new money source coming our way that we're like, well, what do we do with it?
And it's dedicated for that.
For some sort of housing, whether it's you want to promote affordable housing, you want to do existing housing stock, fix-up funds, is it some sort of like senior emergency replacement, new furnace fund? There's all sorts of different things you can do with it. Our dollars aren't huge, so it's not like we can build an apartment building with it, but could do something that's impactful to somebody.
So we should have a plan in place before we receive those dollars, is what you're saying?
We've already received some.
Yeah, we get 3 years to spend it, or 4 years, something like that. But
yeah,
it's kind of this program's kind of been talked about the last couple of years. But again, back to how is it funded? We'll now probably have a funding source for it. So.
Okay.
Use it to connect to water, I mean city water and stuff.
Not commercial.
Well, I know, but residential.
Maybe. Possibly.
Maybe.
Sure.
But I have reached out to Anoka County already, so they've done a little restructuring there in their economic development area. So AC Red, they're doing additional things. And I had asked Greg to put together, since the money kind of comes through the county and comes to us, to put together kind of do's and don'ts of what you can do and what you cannot do. And a couple of the cities are looking to get together to do that. So we've kind of started an exploration process on, so rather than creating our own template and finding out it doesn't work, getting some guardrails in place and then devising based on kind of what we, kind of that sweet spot, what we want to do. Or, for instance, or finding a program that's in another city that is just successful, and rather than creating our own, just copy it. So, I mean, there's a number of ways to do it, but it is new money, and with it, kind of to Todd's point, it's really, it's affordable housing, that's, and you can go right out to the state website, and it talks about the dedication of those funds, but I think that is something we need to do, is develop a program or policy on how to spend the money.
Sure. Okay.
We'll leave it on the list.
Dan.
I know we're probably running low on time for this part, but I would, I mean, and I mentioned over there, but I would move over the gravel. I mean, I guess we are kind of, we talked about it in Public Works, but then, you know, I would discourage staff, and I don't know how this would be implemented, or should I really be part of positive voting, but take up Stephanie's suggestions of how to kind of, you know, maybe get rid of policies or procedures that would, or just get rid of Stephanie, no, I'm just kidding, that are getting, bogging things down, making things less efficient. And I would encourage, you know, if we have OS, you know, Microsoft 365 licenses, to use Teams and try it out as a chat tool and ask what the, you know, both the cost of implementation and training, or, you know, if we already have a license for it, or what that would cost. But I mean, I think you'd be amazed the efficiency of just direct, quick, easy communication versus emails that get lost in the process. But
Dan can do a free,
yeah,
free tutorial.
There you go. They do train teams at my company. But
yeah, the efficiency is. You guys use it?
Teams?
You chat each other during the day?
I don't chat much. I have the video calls.
What do you think? It should be here too or not?
What's that?
Should the gravel be here too or gravel roads? Leave it over there.
Let's say we're not doing it well, because we've moved it off of this list.
Gotcha.
We've talked about it. We haven't found a solution.
What are we doing that we should not be doing? That's the next one. If anybody wants to add anything onto the end of that, we can, but we should.
We just go back to the one previously.
Yes.
Going back to what Colleen said, the ESST thing, our payouts at the end, I think is great, and I think we're going to see it. Going into that now, we have to give a 3-month notice. From our standpoint, our process of hiring is long, and anyway, yes, if we get, no, someone's given their 3-month notice, can we start the hiring process at that point instead of waiting till they're gone? I know currently it's the, you know, a lot of times it's a 2-week notice and they're out. So it's not there, but if we know that there, we have a 3-month window, we start application process and start streamlining that.
That's the goal.
Is the only reason we're not is because we're afraid we'll be paying 2 people for the same position for a certain amount of time, or why are we not doing that?
I just think it. I think it's so new right now that we haven't gotten to that point. But
okay.
Just,
yeah, and really the 3-month thing comes from a true retirement, where we know someone's retiring, they give us 3-month notice, there's a little incentive to get extra benefit payout.
Sure.
And then we can turn around and get their job advertised, and hopefully by the time they're gone, we have either a short overlap to transfer some institutional knowledge, or a short gap.
Yeah.
So, but I think we've had 1 retirement.
Yes. 2nd one's coming.
Yeah. So.
So we should be doing. So on the other list, not doing, we should do. Should be.
How would we recruiting?
Beginning the hiring process earlier, first.
I just think if you have the big advance notice, yeah, starting the process.
Yeah.
It could be a longer process than what we think it's going to be. Bad pool of people.
I think we have the ability to overlap where the outgoing can train in the incoming. That'd be fantastic, because we have a lot of positions here in City Hall. You're the one and only, so you're being trained in by people who sort of know what you're doing, but not actually what you're doing.
Well, we try to have cross training, but everybody is so busy. It'd be great to get a jump on it, but a lot of times people are on to their next job. Yeah.
Well, these 3 months. In these 3 month notice situations.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, that is the goal.
Well, I'm not sure now.
Doing, but we should not be doing. So the other two was focusing on long-term CIP and data requests. Those were the two from last year. They'll spark some imagination here. I think long-term CIP,
us not talking about a long-term CIP would be a terrible mistake. That's planning. I believe that was actually focused at the community center. That was always the 10-plus years, and it just sat further out. I believe that was aimed at that.
That's too broad.
Yes, that comment is not accurate.
Yes, we should always be focusing on long-term. So then that leaves data requests. What are we doing that we should not be doing? I mean, I feel like we should be doing data requests. Like, aren't we obligated to?
Yes. I know we are.
Yeah, I don't think that's an option, right?
I think that was Colleen's.
It had to do with a lot of
detail. Oh, was it internal?
Yes.
Okay. So, I think, if I'm reading between the lines from my time on, council was asking staff to pull a lot of data requests, and it was taking up a lot of time. So we can disagree with staff if we want to, but I think the idea behind that is if we could not ask for tons of stuff all the time, it would save them time. Not that we can't, but we should just be cognizant of the time we're taking when we do that.
Yeah. Are you speaking to certain data, not just like requests generally?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
We're speaking to something more niche than just information, generally speaking. Like, we can ask questions of you, but we're not, and seek data, but not data on employees and individuals, right? That's the more...
In the past, a council member may talk to a resident, and the resident may say, they've been out here 7 times to tell me about my lawn, and then the council member goes to the city staff and say, can you pull a data request for all the time that we, you know, kind of deal where it's like, just digging way into the details when maybe there's other options that can save staff time.
Or like, for example, looking for which city staff member called a certain phone number. Pouring through cell phone records and Mitel records.
Okay, that makes sense.
So we don't need to be doing as much of that, I think, is what it was from last year.
I think we've had some turnover, too. So.
That was from the previous one, right?
Yeah.
Has that improved?
Much.
Well, we got an improvement board.
Put it over there.
All right. Anything else that we are doing that we should not be doing?
I didn't even know we could ask that kind of stuff. I'm excited.
How many 612 numbers have you called in the last 3 years?
Yeah. What percentage of calls go to 762?
I'm always asking that stuff. Is there nothing? What we are doing that
we got to come up with something.
I think
Ryan,
right now,
nothing else. You got to come up with something.
That's what we should not be doing.
Leadership opportunity. Stop doing long term.
I would say changing rules without having them in place long enough to see how they truly are going. There are a couple examples like that.
That's a good example.
It is.
Put her on the board.
Would changing rules before they've even taken place also fall into that same category?
Yeah.
You need to add more things to the agenda last minute. Right? Let's
come back. I don't care.
Chris promoting himself constantly.
It's me. I think it's funny, so that's...
Chris, one of those new Facebook groups is just Chris.
Yeah. I'm trying to get someone else to join.
What, Facebook group?
All right, anything else? If not, I think that
that's all you have?
Leads us into a break here.
That's not all you have.
We're working. Yeah, I think we can take a quick 5-10 minute break and
come
back.
But
I don't say it.
No, I think we are revamping this and thinking about it. But I remember last year the turnout for some of the gatherings of both the commissions and the board and staff, some of those big gatherings we had, like it was really pretty low turnout. But so I don't know if we, but I think we discussed we're already going to revamp that of like how to do appreciation events.
Yeah,
I mean, do you remember that last year? Cause there's some
other we dropped. I mean, we used to do an all staff and all board and council event, but we dropped it out of the budget.
Okay, so we did already address that. All right.
Yeah. We kept in the two all staff meetings.
You say we should be doing that again, or we should?
No, I think we shouldn't be doing what we did just because it was a little turnout. Not that it's not a good idea, but maybe just revamp it or switch it. I think we took one of those out of the budget. So.
All right.
Yeah, let's do a short little recess here for 5-10 minutes.